let's look at the second part here. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible. An inheritance incorruptible. Meaning, and what that means there, it is not able to be destroyed, is what it means. It cannot be destroyed. You know, there are many things that are built on this earth. You think of great, I don't know, structures, the Eiffel Tower, pick whatever you want to think of, some huge structure. I don't care how big it is, it can be destroyed. But our inheritance in Christ, our living, lively hope in Him, cannot be destroyed. It cannot be destroyed. And that is part of the hope of the Christian. It cannot be damaged. There is no rust that can eat it. There is no moth. There is no germ. There is no dynamite. There is nothing of this earth that can destroy. It is indestructible. It is incorruptible. The second word here is, it says, this hope that we have, this lively hope, is undefiled. Undefiled. And that actually means two things. The living hope we have is, number one, it's pure, it's undefiled, because it's of Christ. But it also means it's totally legal. That's a wonderful thing to me. It's totally legal. Meaning, you know, God, the way God has done everything, this salvation that we have, it is absolutely right. It justifies everything. It is totally right. There is nothing illegal about it. It is totally legal. It is totally right. And it's a living hope. Then it says that fadeth not away. That fadeth not away. You know, there's a lot of things on this earth that people put a lot of money in, whether it's the stock market or gold or whatever. But you know, after a while, it can fade away. You know, it can fade away. The beauty of something fades away. But the beauty of this living hope will never fade away. I believe it'll just get brighter and brighter and brighter through eternity and eternity and eternity and beyond. It's not going to fade. It's just going to glow brighter and brighter. That's the hope of the Christian. That's the kind of hope He's given us here. And then the last thing He says here is that it's reserved for you in heaven. Now, the word reserved here actually means two things. It means kept, meaning God has kept it there, but it also means it's guarded. And that's a beautiful picture to me. It means that God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in heaven are actually guarding over salvation. This whole thing of salvation, it's not just a whim. It's not a thing that they're going to throw out and see what happens to it. God is actually guarding it. This is a precious, precious, precious thing to God. And He's reserving it, meaning He's guarding it. He's keeping it. And that's all part of our lively hope. Of our lively hope. Turn over to the book of John, chapter 14. We talked about the resurrection just a moment ago and the hope of the Christian. We see here in the book of John, chapter 14, an interesting verse. Verse 19. Jesus is nearing the end of His ministry on earth, and He's talking to His disciples, and He says to them, yet a little while, and the world seeth Me no more. But ye see Me, because I live, ye shall live also. Now that's an amazing promise, because we know, as we read church history, that all of the disciples died physically, right? Many of them, we believe, maybe 10 or 11 of them, we're not sure of the number, at least I'm not, died what we would call a martyr's death of some kind. And yet here is Jesus promising them something that seems, how does this match up? He says, because I live, ye shall live. What was He talking about? Well, He's talking about the second death. I don't have time to look at all the verses, but if you would turn to the book of Revelation and other places in the Bible, you would see that there's another death besides this physical death. Danny has experienced a physical death on Thursday morning. But he shall not experience the second death. And that's what Christ is promising. Because I live, ye shall live. That second death is the one that's talked about in the lake of fire. The second death is the lake of fire, the Bible says. And so as we look at that, what that means is, as a Christian, I do not have to face that eternal death. You know, there's the physical death, but there's that eternal death, which is the eternal separation from a living God. See, we have a living hope, because we're going to be with the living God and we're going to live with Him. But real death, the second death, which is much worse than any physical death we could think of, is that eternal aloneness, that eternal separation from an eternal living God. That is the second death. But Jesus is saying here to those that believe in Him, because I live, ye shall live. Meaning, you're not going to face the second death. Did they have to face the physical death? Yes, they did. But do they face the eternal death? No, they did not, and neither do we. This promise that He made back then in the land of Israel almost 2,000 years ago is as real today for you, for me, for Danny, for anyone here, as it was to those 12 men that He was talking to. The power of it has not faded by time. The power of the gospel is not bound by geography, and it's not bound by time. And these words are as real today for you and me. And it's part of the hope of the Christian. Because He lives, I shall live, and ye shall live if you're in Christ. If you're in Christ. And that's the words that He has for us here. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the verse I thought of almost immediately when I was on the way to the hospital and realized that Danny had died. And I called, I think, who did I call? Brother Manny Troyer, I think. And you quoted the same verse to me that morning. I think I was on my cell phone on the way here in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. I thought of this verse, and I noticed it yesterday at the viewing. They had it on the little card there. And I just want to read these verses a little bit, chapter 15, and make a few comments. Because it's very important, as we're thinking of this subject, the hope of the Christian, to see what the Word of God says about death. Because, see, death is real. The physical, earthly death is real. But there is a great, we have to remember, the spiritual reality is greater than the physical reality. Do you believe that? As Christians, we need to believe that. When Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, and He came back to visit His disciples, and they were in the upper room praying, He came in there to meet them. Do you remember what He did? He walked through the door. Do you remember that? He came through the door. Because the spiritual reality is greater than the physical. And we need to remember that. Let's look at this for just a moment. Start here in verse 52. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written." And this is quoting Isaiah. I can't remember which chapter it is off the top of my head. "Death is swallowed up in victory." Death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. Verse 55. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Victory over sin, and therefore, by definition, as you read this, the victory over death. If you follow what God is saying here. In other words, as we read this, what this 1 Corinthians chapter 15 passage, it's like an epitaph to death. It's saying this is the death of death. We're almost saying. Do you understand what's happening here? This is the death of death. In other words, death, you're swallowed up. Death, we have victory over that. Death, where is your sting? Where is your sting? Death is swallowed up in victory. Think about this with me for a moment. Let's look at the word sting. Most of you here are familiar with the sting of a honeybee, right? What happens when a honeybee stings you? They have that part of their body, the stinger, goes into you, and some poison is pumped in, as I understand it. Then the stinger is actually released by the honeybee, and they can never sting again. At least that's what I understand. I'm not a beekeeper. Somebody can correct me later. That's what's been explained to me, that once they sting, that's it. They can't sting again. But that first sting, it hurts, doesn't it? And it causes pain. But now if that same bee were to try to sting you or me 5 minutes after it stung something else, if the stinger isn't there, what would we say? Oh, it's trying to sting me, but where is its sting? The answer is, it's in that last person that just sung, right? And what Paul is saying here, he's using this as an object lesson this way. Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary, took the sting of death, full and total. He paid the total price. He took the full brunt of it. He didn't take a shortcut. He didn't try to go around a corner. He didn't try to just get it halfway done. He died. Jesus Christ actually died on the cross. He took the full sting of death. He took it all. But when he went to the grave and was resurrected, he defeated death. But the stinger is gone. Where is the sting? The question is asked here. Oh, death, where is that sting? The answer is, it's gone. And there isn't any more sting. The victory of death is gone. It is gone. It is gone. If you're in Christ. Now, you read in this passage that if sin is still in your life, there is still a sting in death, right? But if you have that sin forgiven, if you're in Jesus Christ, you can say, where is the sting? Oh, death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? There is no victory in the grave if you're in Christ, because He's taken the full pain, the full agony, the full price of your death. And in effect, it is the death of death. He has defeated death once and for all. He's abolished it says in another place in Scripture. He has overcome death. And that's why He can say, because I live, ye shall live. And all these things, I hope, encourage you this afternoon. These are things that are so precious and dear to the saints, because these are the hope of the Christian. These are the hope of the Christian. What a wonderful hope it is, because it's all centered in and on and because of the person, Jesus Christ. I don't remember the date now. I think it was last summer. I know it was before Weston and Charity left for Africa. Danny preached an opening here. I think it was the last message he preached here on the wonders of heaven. Do you remember that, Ida? I think that was last summer. And in there he listed a lot of things about heaven. Danny liked to talk about heaven. He would have interesting conversations with me sometimes about some of his thoughts about heaven. And one of the things he said there was that heaven is a real place, and one of the wonders of it is that it's a real place, that it's not some mystical thing. But he said something else. He also said, and it was the last thing he said in his message, as I recall, he said, the biggest wonder of heaven is that I'll be there someday. I remember him saying that. I believe that was the last message that he preached here as an opening. And now he didn't know when. He didn't know when. He wasn't prophesying of a specific time. But he was making the statement, oh death, where's your sting? You know, I have a place reserved in heaven. And to him it was still a wonder that he would be there, that God would let him into his heaven. But he was trusting not in himself, but in the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Turn to John chapter 14. I want to read one more passage there in closing. John chapter 14. Says here in John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place. Notice that part of the hope of the Christian is there a specific place that he's going to prepare, a specific permanent place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Again, part of our living and lively hope is to be with Christ evermore in His presence. That is one of the wonders of heaven, one of the greatest wonders of heaven. It is a permanent place, and it's also a place, may I say, just give you another word of encouragement and comfort, Ida and family, it's also a place of reunion. There's we won't turn there, but there's a passage in 2 Samuel there where David was fasting and mourning because his baby had just been born and the baby wasn't doing very well. The one that was the first child born to him by Bathsheba during the time of adultery there. And when he was told that the baby had died, he rose up, the Bible says, and combed his beard, washed his face, and put on fresh garments. And his servants, they couldn't understand the transformation of what was happening. And this is what he said. But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? And the inferred answer is no, of course not. I shall go to him. So heaven is a place that is reserved for us. It's a place of hope. Jesus Christ is the hope of the Christian, but there is also another hope that seems to be clearly taught in Scripture, that it's a place of reunion as well. Because David, it seems like, once he realized the child was gone, comforted himself with the thought, I cannot bring him back, but I can go to him. I can go to him. And to all of those of us here today, heaven is a place of reunion, and you can go again if your heart is right and your faith is right in Jesus Christ. It is a lively, living hope. Well, I thank God for this opportunity to share here today. I trust that the Word of God has come to our hearts and to your heart, Ida and family, to comfort you, to give you a living and lively hope in the God of heaven, where I believe Danny is now with Jesus Christ, and that we too can someday go and be with him there as well. May God bless you in the days and months to come. Amen.
Encouraging our hearts in the living Word of God. I'd like to read a poem that Bethany wrote September 2, 2004. Our lives were changed forevermore. At 5 o'clock, our papa died. Our hearts were torn, and how we cried. And though we do not understand, we know that this was in God's plan. Amen. Well, I'm going to leave the mic open for a time now for any of you brothers. I'm not even sure if I know who all you are. I know some of Danny's brothers. But we're going to leave this a season of time open here for any of you brothers that would have something to share with us. Okay? You can come at this time.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for the word from the Lord. Thankful at a time like this that we can put our faith and our trust right here in God's Word. I was down in Honduras when I got the word that my brother Danny died. A lot of things went rushing through my mind. We had planned a trip of 2 weeks to be in Honduras, and all at once, our plans were totally changed. And we were coming back to the funeral. And then I had to think of that scripture that our brother shared, Rick, Lord willing. If we live and the Lord will, that took on a new meaning to me. We make our plans, and we think our plans are, well, yes, we sort of presume on tomorrow, but it is always Lord willing. We don't know what tomorrow may hold, do we? But I'm so thankful that we have God's Word here, which is, the Bible says it is forever settled in heaven. This is not some plan that man has thought of, that when we go through the pain that we're experiencing right now, that man can come up with something to give us a little comfort. These are the words of God. And I remember 26 years ago in our living room when Danny fell on his knees and he told God that I'm a sinner. I'm lost. He didn't find the hope, that living hope that our brother was sharing about in himself. He just didn't find it there. And I remember that he asked the Lord to forgive him, to wash him from his sins and his blood. And after that, things were different for Danny. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us not only from the sins that we literally confessed as such, but if our heart is totally broken, He also cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The older I get, the more I see that I think of my own life. I see many shortcomings. I see I've made many mistakes. Then I wonder, how can a man like me see a perfect God in a perfect heaven someday? And I realize, what can I do? Then I realize, Jesus saw my dilemma, and He came and did it for me. Now I can believe in that, and I can trust in that. And I'd like to read a scripture here in Ephesians 2, where it says, "And you has He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, thinking ungodly things, impure things, love for money, just a love for position, recognition, all these things." If we're honest, we all have to admit we all had our hearts in those things at one time or another. We did. And we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, even as the worst heathens. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, this is a scripture that's really been speaking to me lately. It wasn't enough for Danny to repent of his sins and put his faith on the Lord Jesus Christ 26 years ago. That wasn't enough for last week. But in the ages to come, He, God, might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And as we sang that song, what a friend we have in Jesus. Yes, we can lean on the Lord Jesus Christ at times like that, like this. And I'm thankful that in Christ we have a living hope for Danny. And you know, it's not only for Danny or those that have gone on, but it's for me and you today too. If we put our faith and trust alone in the work that Jesus did on Calvary, when He paid that price and that death stung Him, that He died, He did that for me. He did that for you. He did that for all of us, Troyers. Now it's because of Him that we can have that lively hope, and Him alone. As I get older, the more I see that that's the only thing I have. My life is too full of mistakes to depend on it. But as I look to Jesus, I find hope, a living hope. It's an anchor for my soul, both sure and steadfast, which God has given me. Thank you so much for coming. Every one of you that is here today, I'm glad that you're here. God bless you for coming.
God bless all of you. I'd like to finish a scripture Brother Rick started to read. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Is that a comfort to you this morning? I can say it's a thrill to me. Not because of who I am or what I've done, but because of the power of Jesus Christ in spite of who I am. You know, the resurrection power. I just recently was reading in Matthew. When that power, resurrection, entered the realm of the dead couldn't all stay there. Even at his entering in, some of the graves were opened up, and many of those arose. That's resurrection power. And that's Jesus Christ for us. You know, as I thought of a lot of things, of course, a time like this, your mind goes fast and far. Thought of a lot of good times, my brother and I'm the youngest and Danny was the next. A lot of good times we had together, and sometimes of fighting. But we loved each other, and I looked up to him. And I thought back at the time, I think I was 12 years old probably, when Danny came home, and I noticed something changed. Something was different. Danny had been kind of rejected and picked on sometimes by a lot of his friends, made fun of. Because of that, he tried to get in with the in crowd, and he'd go after sports. He was, I remember, all wrapped up in keeping up with some of the baseball games, the Philadelphia Phillies. And I seen him going from that to coming home and getting down on his knees beside his bed and praying and reading his Bible, night after night. And I remember seeing there, what? Something's different. And it's because of what took place, Brother Junior shared, that I'm here today with grief, yes, but with joy. You know, this is only a temporary parting for those of us that are in Christ. I was in another country when I got the word. Now he's in another country. And I'm not there yet. But one of these days, because of Jesus Christ, we'll be together and we won't part. Praise God. It's good to be here. God bless you, cousins, for coming. It means much to us. The other morning, before John and Anna left home to come up here, they got an email that was requested that would be read here at the funeral. And I'll just read it and then continue. When I heard the news this morning of Danny's death, I was shocked. I never met Danny. I'm so sad inside right now over the loss of a man I never met. But yet, whom I knew loved my little girls as his own. I know Sarah and Bethany loved Danny with all their hearts. Danny, with his wife, Ida, gave my girls not just a mama and a papa, but gave them a home. A real home, and shared with my girls the love for Jesus, the mother of Sarah and Bethany. Liebe Geschwister, das ist ein lauter Ruf. You know what we have before us here? In this wooden box, over and over it went through my mind. The most important thing in life is to get right with God. The second most important thing in life is to stay right with God. And I felt it was so complete. This morning, this afternoon, through the message of how to get right with God and how to stay right with God. The scriptures tell us that heaven and earth shall pass away, but His word will not pass away. The scriptures tell us that this word, the scriptures, are forever settled in heaven. The hope that Brother Rick was preaching about is a hope that maketh not ashamed. This hope will never embarrass, never let us down, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The scriptures tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that if Jesus Christ wouldn't have resurrected from the grave, our faith would be vain and we would be yet in our sins. It is not God's will for us as His creation to be in our sins, because He made a way and provided a remedy that we don't have to go through life and into eternity with our sins. It's because of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at this assembly here. If Jesus Christ wouldn't have resurrected, everyone inside these four walls would be yet in our sins. Today, it's not by who we are or what our bloodline is, but it is because of what Jesus Christ has done for His creation. He provided a way, took that sting upon Himself that we don't have to be stung eternally. I'd like to talk to my mother a little bit. Mom, I love you. At a time like this, it's not wrong to weep. Almost 29 years ago, we as a family were together, and we wept. We wept because our earthly father was laying in a box just like this. There's nothing wrong to weep. Mom, I want to thank you for giving your best to us. Yes, you made mistakes. We made many mistakes. But you gave your best. You gave birth to 10 children. One was stillborn. 9 of them, 9 of us were together for 39 years. I think Brother David is 39. The circle in the Troyer family is broken, but it's only temporarily broken. It's only broken temporarily. Dan is the first one to go. But if life continues, he will not be the last. Again someday, we will be gathered together in this manner. And very likely, not all the children or grandchildren can be together. And that's what I want to tell you, Mother. You know, for us as believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're part of His church, the church which He has purchased with His own blood, God has given the church a great commission in Matthew 28 to go into all the world
and preach the gospel to every creature, and to teach them to observe all things. And God is calling some of your children and grandchildren to other countries because of what God has commissioned the church to do. Yes, Mother, you have children and grandchildren in Central America, in South America, in Africa. It's all because of God. What He wants the church to do. So when we gather together next time as a Torah family, as far as I know, there's only one grandchild that wasn't here last evening or the day. He's in another country. And that's the way it's going to continue to work. So we meet together again, and we're not all together. It's just temporary. We can look into eternity and know that someday we can be together if we are in Christ Jesus. And if we're not ashamed to confess Him as Lord. But the Scripture tells us in Mark chapter 8 that if we're ashamed of Jesus Christ, the day is going to come that He'll be ashamed of us. And let's not be ashamed of the one that purchased us with His own blood and forgave us our sins. At a time like this, it's not wrong to weep. And I'm sure before this body here will be buried, there'll be more tears. There's nothing wrong with that. I think tears are good for the soul. David, King David, in a trying time, he cried out to God, and he asked God to put his tears in a bottle. In Psalm 56, David asked God, "Put thou my tears into thy bottle." And the last part of that verse is, "Are they not in thy book?" And family, what this scripture is telling us, that God remembers our tears. He will not forget them. Yesterday, I just looked at this. David asked God to put his tears in a bottle. "Are they not in thine book?" Then I went back to my mother tongue. And I looked what it would say about this. And this is what it says. "Ohne Zweifel zähle ich alle one count. Du nicht alle one zähle." Translating that is, "Without doubting, I'll count every tear." Tears, at a time like this, mean something to God. He'll not forget them. Mother, the Scripture tells us in Psalm 30, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Joy cometh in the morning. So as we go through life, the most important thing is to get right with God. The second most important thing is to stay right with God. And we have heard the beautiful plan in a very elementary way. How to get right with God. So I'm grateful with a heart that is full of grief. I'm grateful that everybody that came to Brother Danny's funeral will never be the same. If you've never heard the gospel, you have heard the gospel today, and God is going to hold us accountable with what we do, with what we heard. And may God bless.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. A funeral message has a way of causing us to consider the brevity of life and the need to get right with God. if God has been speaking to you through this message, I invite you to fall on your knees and cry out to God for salvation. If you get serious with God and cry out to Him, He will hear your cry. Acknowledge to God that you are a sinner. Confess your sins to Him one by one. Repent or turn away from your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you need more help, or you'd like to listen to more messages about salvation, about being born again, dial 1-641-715-3800 and enter ID number 500909 pound. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. We would certainly be glad to counsel you or give you more information. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Effort of Christian Fellowship, press 77. If you stay on the line, this menu will repeat itself. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now. God bless you.